Welcome, everybody. Let me help you envision, explore, and execute your plans. This is Motivate Me, and I'm Lynette Renda. If your day job is not your dream job, then you want to meet today's guest, Jeannie Persicanto, creator of the Doggy Daycare. Before we get started today, I just want to make sure you know you can go to motivatemepodcast.com, and there you're going to find our show notes, links to all of the resources mentioned. You'll find an application to be on the show. You'll have access to our email, and we can direct you to the Motivate Me Ultimate Support System Facebook page, because nothing matters more to me than to connect with my listeners. So I hope I can do that starting right now. Ladies and gentlemen, on today's episode, we have Jeannie Persicanto. Jeannie's passion is that she likes to train dogs, and she's got a very interesting story that she's going to share with you today. First, I would like to welcome her to the show. She happens to be in studio with me, and you will find out why in a few minutes, but welcome to the show, Jeannie.
Lynette, thank you so much for having me on. I'm thrilled to be able to join everyone with your podcast and be able to help them out with maybe some dog issues.
That's awesome. So first of all, can you share with everybody the quote that you brought?
The quote was from Will Rogers. He said that there are no dogs in heaven, then he wants to go wherever they are.
I like that a lot. And tell me how you connect with that.
I've been connected with and in love with dogs my entire life.
Tell us how that passion began for you.
When I was 3 years old, I was running around playing. Our family dog, Candy, was laying in the doorway by the kitchen. My mother was in the kitchen doing her kitchen things. And I tripped and I fell on the dog. And I hurt her. She reared her head back and she caught me on the side of my face. And I, of course, cried. My mother turned around and looked at me, looked at the dog, went to the refrigerator and grabbed a bag of frozen something or other, put it on the side of my face and said, "What happened?" I said, "I fell on the dog and hurt her." She says, "Don't do that anymore." I said, "Okay." My father comes home at the end of the day and there's a bruise on the side of my face. He says, "What happened?" I said, "I fell on the dog and I hurt her." He said, "Don't do that anymore." I said, "Okay." So at 3 years old, I learned a very valuable lesson of how to interact with dogs and get along with them a little bit better. When I was 9 years old, my parents gave me a Dalmatian for Christmas. Unfortunately, it turns out that she was deaf, as inherent in the breed. Well, by the time she was a year old, a deaf dog was becoming problematic to live with. My parents sat me down and they explained to me that we've got to do something about this here, or she has to go to the dog farm. The dog farm being the other name for the dog pound. Not about to give her up, I decided I had to come up with a plan to make it work. Wasn't more apparent to me than when she jumped our fence and hit a car. She survived. She survived. But I knew then that I had to do something.
I just want to tell listeners, you know, usually I don't do live interviews where I have people with me in the studio. And so right now we're just a little overwhelmed with emotion over here because Jeannie is such a dog lover. And I know I've talked to you guys about my dog Olive and what a terror she's been. And that's why Jeannie is actually here in my house, changing my life for me with Olive and for our family. And so she's so passionate about what she does, which is exactly why I asked to interview her the next time she came, because I know that there's so many people out there who are animal lovers. And Jeannie took it to the next level, and she's telling us a very passionate story about what moved her along into that direction. And I know, listeners, that you can tell that right now Jeannie is just taking a little bit sip of water, and that memory was a passionate one for her. So are you ready to continue?
Yeah, we'll just struggle along here. Sorry about that. So I decided that I needed to do something with her, and I took my mother's new clothesline and some hot dogs, and I started teaching the dog how to distance respond and how to respond to hand signs and to be able to change her life around so that we were able to keep her. There were no DVDs or internet or YouTube or dog trainers to go to, so everything I had to do was pretty much trial and error. I had to figure out how to make it work, well, to keep her from jumping the fence again and to be able to keep her in my life. Fortunately, I was able to succeed and make it work, and I was able to take her hiking in the woods with me and down to the lake, and we got to enjoy some time together.
Jeannie, that's a really beautiful story. I know then that you ended up going into teaching, and you were a physical education teacher for 20 years. And at some point you decided, I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm going to do what I love and what I'm passionate about on a full-time basis. What was that decision like for you?
That decision was partially made for me. Yes, I was in education and taught physical education and health for 20 years and wore many hats and loved the process of teaching. But along the way, I, as many people do, got a dog that became problematic. And I ran into a few choices that I was given. Either needed to get rid of the dog, move to another place to live, or put the dog down. So I pursued, first course of action was to get the dog trained. And unfortunately, I wasn't able to find a successful resolution to the problems that I was dealing with. So my second choice was to try and find another place to live, which, again, difficulty finding someplace that would take the dog. Third choice came down to putting her down, and that became my only recourse at the time. Made the decision, called the vet, set the time up, and divine intervention of some sort. I got a magazine that had an ad in it, and I called on the ad. The trainer said, bring the dog out. I drove hours away, took the dog to him, and he says, you got a socialization problem. I said, great, can you fix it? He says, yeah. Then after we fixed it, I asked him if I could stay there and learn how to fix more dogs, because if I had the problem, other people would have a similar problem that needed help.
So is that how you learned to train dogs? Then you shadowed and had a mentor?
He was a mentor, and I assisted with the training. I studied under him. He was an absolutely wonderful trainer and had a touch and feel for the dogs that I just had absolutely admired. So I worked with him for a while, and then struck out on my own. He kind of said, cut the cord and said, go do it on your own, kid. And that's pretty much what I did.
So you had to make a decision to leave teaching and take a giant leap into something new full time. And what was that transition like for you?
It was scary. I knew that I had come to an end of one course of my life. Again, I still love to teach, but I knew that there was another side that I needed to pursue, another direction that I had to go in, and that was with the dogs. Walked the pavement, spent many nights trying to figure out how I was going to make it happen, because I'm walking away from 20 years of not only a field that I was very ingrained with, but it was also a paycheck. And I had to figure out how I was going to financially survive as well as emotionally survive the changeover. And mother of invention comes into play as always.
What does that mean? Tell me what that means.
Well, my thing was to figure out what it was that most people needed to do with their dog and where a lot of problems were coming from. I had already started training dogs while I was still teaching. And my goal was to find what the main issues were that owners were faced with. And one of them was coming home from work with a dog that was bouncing off the wall. My solution was to start a daycare. Unfortunately, no one had ever heard of daycare, and there was no such thing as going someplace where somebody was already doing it, so I was sort of inventing the wheel for myself on how to set up a daycare. Everyone laughed at me. They said, what are you doing that for? Who's going to pay money to send dogs to a daycare? I said, I don't know. I said, but it just seems like a choice and an alternative that will help owners. So I pursued it.
And what happened? Because I know doggy daycare is a thing.
Well, it took about 2 years to build up a client base. And I started with one dog and two dogs. And before you know it, I had a consistent base of about 25 dogs coming in. That course of time, no one had heard about it. Asbury Park Press picked up an article. Star Ledger did an article. Atlantic City Press picked up an article. And then Fox News called me because they had never heard of it. And they came out and did a little segment on my little corner of the world. Dogs playing with dogs. I built a jungle gym. I had created a playground world for the dogs to be in.
Do you still do that?
I don't do the daycare. And I used to do boarding as well. I did it for 15, 16 years, and it just got to be very tiring. And I decided to just do the training and focus on that.
Okay, so first of all, I would like to hear a story. I'd like to hear a story about one of your most memorable or difficult dogs. Why are you rolling your eyes?
There's 100 dogs floating through my head right now. I wouldn't even know where to start. One of my most memorable dogs would be my own. Because of her, because of her problems, because of the difficulties that I had with her and the choices that I was being forced into make, she changed the course of my life. So she would, I guess she'd be the most difficult and the most memorable.
I know you shared with me a couple examples of dogs that you had to train and what you were trying to correct with them. You know, it's one of your dogs with getting angry over the food bowl, another one kind of biting. What kind of issues do you deal with?
I don't know. I don't know that you can actually divide it into issues. I think it's just dogness. Every dog, every owner has their own compatibility or lack of compatibility. All issues, in most cases, stem from the same problem. If you think of it like putting a puzzle together, you look at the cover, the outside cover on a puzzle, and it's a really pretty picture. And you think, I want to take that puzzle home and put it together. And you do, and you open the box up, and you're looking at 1,000 pieces of disjointed cardboard that doesn't make any sense to you. And you put the cover back on the box, and you look at the outside, and you say, it's really pretty, but I don't know that I can make it. Dog training is a lot like putting a puzzle together, teaching owners how to fit the pieces. You start with the edges first. You got to turn them all over to see what's there. You got to identify what the problems are. Then you put the edges, because the edges are the foundations, and you build from the outside in. And you just keep fitting one piece inside of another piece until you've completed the puzzle and you have a nice picture to look at.
Okay, now I've mentioned Olive, my co-host Olive, my little Morky Poo, who is 3.2 pounds. And she was, I have to say, she was a terror, which is why I called Jeannie. So can you tell listeners, give them your best critique about Olive, her personality, and her issues?
You sure you want me to do this on air? Olive is a pistol. She is just a firecracker of energy and enthusiasm and intelligence, and she's pragmatic. She's a little mathematician. She's constantly got figures being calculated in her head, and she's always adding things together. Olive wants to know answers. She wants absolute definitive response and information. Can I? Can't I? Will you? Won't you? Is this good? Is this not good? And she'll throw everything at you, including the kitchen sink, until she gets the answer that she's looking for.
But I told everybody that she is definitely sweet-spirited, though. Do you think she is or no? What do you think about that?
She's a love. She's absolutely a love. You're correct. But cute has a... cute wins the day only so far. There's a whole other side to the dog. And part of her cuteness is that that creative thinking that she has going on. That's a part of her cute side as well.
The reason I bring up Olive is to show you how Jeannie is like the dog whisperer. She really can get to know the dogs on such a deep level and so uniquely, as if they are little unique people, because to her, they are unique creatures. But she really did a lot of explaining to me about how dogs' brains are different than ours, and how if I treat her too much like she is a little baby and pick her up and walk around with her, how that's actually detrimental to Olive's well-being, because she needs to think like a dog and I need to think like a person. So it was really beneficial to me. And Olive changed day one. We continue to reinforce all of the things. And today was day two with Jeannie, but Olive is a different dog and it's been absolutely amazing. And it's been amazing for Olive and it's been amazing for me and for our family. And just the time that we spend together. And I had a conversation with Jeannie on the phone and I thanked her for just really poor John, who didn't want Olive in the first place. So poor John and I were arguing about Olive and fighting because Olive was biting and she was not training well. And it was just a lot of tension. So Jeannie came in and day one really, really helped me. Now, Jeannie, I know that you have traveled a really long path with all of these canine loves that you've worked with. What have you learned about yourself in this process?
That I never give up. That as many times as you run into a roadblock or a stone wall, you find a way over, around it, through it. And that if you keep seeking, you'll always find an answer somehow. Sometimes it can take a lot of tears and heartache and changing course in the direction that you think you were going in to make things work for you. But the universe throws it at you and your choice is to run with it or not run with it.
Now, for anybody else who's out there right now and they're considering getting into training of any kind, whether it's dog training or it could be a different kind of animal, a different breed, but what would your suggestion be as far as resources go?
There's thousands of different pieces of resources out there. You need to decide what you want to do. We have a tendency to see dogs as a single idea or a single concept or a single being. And we forget that we as humans created dogs. We designed them. We made them who and what they are. We've created hunting dogs and herding dogs and protection dogs and carting dogs and dogs for every aspect of our lives. So your goal is to figure out first what it is about dogs that you truly want to be involved with, because there's so many different places you can go with it. You can be just a simple pet related field. You can get involved with drug, bomb, service dogs. There's just so many different areas that you can go into within the dog world itself. There's no one place to tell you to go. It's not like there's one school. There's a variety of schools of thought. And you have to determine what it is that you're interested in the most. Just start at a dog show. They do breed confirmation, but a lot of dog shows also have obedience trials, rally trials, agility. There's listings online. They have listings in newspapers. You can find information in your community town. Resources will have listings of different things going on. So figure out first what you're looking for. Sometimes just start with your own dog. Go to a trainer, get your own dog trained. See if you like that experience or not. Take your same dog and go to another dog trainer and get the dog trained to do something different. Find programs to get involved with. AKC Sport, Rally, Obedience. Are you interested in doing field trials? What is it that you like to pursue and do?
I think going to a dog show is an excellent resource because you do get to see all those different breeds. You get to see people training. You get to see what all of that is about. That That sounds like a lot of fun too, actually, to me. So Jeannie, this part of our show is our express round. It's just 60-second responses or less. And it's the most important part of the show because I believe to get people to act, it's three steps. First, we need to envision for ourselves what it would look like if we did act. So in this case, we're talking about being a dog trainer. What do we envision when we see that? So we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about what we need to explore in order to move in that direction to see what's out there. And then how do we execute what would be the actual first step? So what should somebody envision when they see themselves being a dog trainer?
What is it that you want to do with dogs? What is it that you like, the reason that you like dogs? How do you want to live with your own dog? What is the experiences and lifestyle choices that you want to make with your own dog? That'll kind of direct you into avenues of where to go to start finding other aspects about dogs and what you'd like to do.
So in order to explore then, to see what their options are. I know you mentioned going to a dog show, which is great. Is there anything else you would recommend?
Oh, you can get involved in other areas. You can join most breeds and have dog clubs. You can get involved with doing dog clubs. You can get involved with dog rescue. You can work with the Seeing Eye and Canines for Independence, where you do puppy raiser programs. The 4-H sometimes runs programs through the health department. Again, online, you can find resources online in your area. They have husky races down in Wharton and Batstow. There's karting competitions that go on. So there's a whole agenda of activities that happen with dogs in and around the state year-round.
Okay, so then to execute, what's the first step?
I guess the first step would be, again, to get your own dog and start working with your own dog. Get a feel for them. Learn your strengths and weaknesses, their strengths and weaknesses. First dog that I took through training was the dog that I had problems with. The turnaround in what took place with her and what I was able to do with her, she had an aggression issue. When I finished training with her, I have pictures of sitting in the square up in Mystic, Connecticut with kids sitting around with their arms around her. So look at your dog and see what it is that you really want to pursue with them and what kind of life you want to have with them. And then go out and make it happen.
I love it. I think that's great. And I think that your passion for dogs is really touching the audience right now because there's so many people who are just passionate about dogs, about cats. Are there cat trainers?
No, but I wish I were one of them because I would make a gazillion dollars.
Can cats be trained?
Yes, they can. They can be treat trained, but basically they're responding only to the treats. It's not something that they hold on to and say, yeah, you know, I'm going to work for you. It's more like, bribe me and then I'll do what you want me to do.
Why do you think that is?
Because I owned a cat.
But why? What makes dogs trainable and cats not? Do you know?
It's just a difference in their genetics. Their structure and their being is designed to live an entirely different life. Dogs and cats can get along. They can coexist. They can be friends to some degree, but they are designed to be entirely different species. And that's why you can't always get one to do the other. You can have a search and rescue dog, but there are no search and rescue cats because cats just won't do the job.
Wow, that's pretty funny. You know why? Because I just thought about what I want the go-do to be, and we're going to start a war. It's going to be a cat-dog-person war. I love those wars. Is that all right with you?
Yeah. Whatever works, that's fine.
Jeannie's like, Lynette, I'm in your house, so whatever you say goes. All right, so do you have any kind of closing advice for us today?
I want you to be fair. I want you to be fair with the dog. I want you to see dogs as beings designed to do jobs, specific tasks. That's what we created in them. And We're not being fair to them anymore because we're making them suburbanites. And we're no longer giving them the chance to be what nature calls for them to do. If you have a retriever, they need to retrieve. If you have a herding dog, they're going to herd the kids around the backyard. If you have a dachshund or a small Yorkie, they're going to bark. And they're going to dig because that's what nature tells them to do. So we have to learn to be fair and find ways to allow them to the chance to be who they are and what they are in a safe, practical manner. Otherwise, we end up with dogs that are neurotic, unhappy, out of control, edgy, because they just don't know what to do with themselves. And we're not giving them fair chance to be who they are.
So, ladies and gentlemen, Jeannie's final advice is to be kind to your animals and respect their heritage and don't hold it against them when they're being who they were born to be.
Use the skill set that they're born with to teach them to be who you want them to be. You know, again, a dog that's a retriever, if you teach them to retrieve but use the retrieving as a course in training, then you get a double benefit for your dog.
Do you recommend people getting into this field?
It's a very difficult field, and a lot of new dog trainers burn out very quickly because it's a demanding job. Sometimes it's a heartbreaking job. It's often a very physical job, and you have to work and be very dedicated to what you're doing. You have to become totally immersed in the field and in the area to learn as many pieces to the puzzle as you can, or as many different aspects of dog training as you can. Because not every dog is the same, not every owner is the same, and every circumstance is going to end up being different. You need to have a deep pool to draw from to be able to work with a lot of different dogs.
Jeannie, I would like to really thank you for coming on the show. I know this is probably not something you're used to doing. Hey, let me train your dog. And while I'm there, come into your studio and be recorded with this big fat microphone in front of my face that you keep swinging back and forth. So I just want to say thank you so much for being such a great sport. Thank you for sharing your experiences so openly. And thank you for teaching my listeners. And thank you for teaching Olive and changing the entire atmosphere in our home. So I want to thank you for that.
My pleasure, Lynette. Thank you so much for inviting me and inviting me into your home and inviting me into Olive's life.
I love it. And here's the deal. If you would like to get in touch with Jeannie, you can find her at www.ultimatedogtrainingnj.com. Of course, that information will be in the show notes. You can also email her at Jean, JEANNEP, 777 at gmail.com. That will also be included in the show notes. And she is on Facebook under Ultimate Dog Training. She'll be a part of our private group, though, Motivate Me Ultimate Support System. So you can also reach out to her there. Now, I had a great idea for a go-do. The idea for the go-do is come to our private group, Motivate Me Ultimate Support System. And we want to know, are you a dog person or are you a cat person? And feel free to post a picture of your little baby or babies, however many you have. What do you think about that?
That sounds like a great idea, but watch out.
Yeah, watch out. People get pretty passionate. So everybody, thank you so much for joining us today. That's it for today. You motivate me. I'm Lynette Renda.